Welcome to the 10 and 2 podcast. I'm Kat.
I'm Catlin.
And we're here every week talking watches, photography, adventure, and exploring the world of horology. How are you today?
Hi, Kat.
Hey.
I am.
Hey.
I'm good. I'm like ready to go. I'm all like.
I bet you are.
This is 10 and 2 after dark, but the opposite after dark. Like the sun just came up. So like I've been up for 4 hours. I've had my pre-workout, my workout. I've had coffee. I'm like dressed for work.
Oh, man.
So. Damn. But in a hair and makeup, but in a bathrobe. This is a vibe, by the way, just to like get ready, but then lounge around in a bathrobe all morning. Like, it's definitely a look. Can I just take a moment and complain about the cold weather? I know we said we wanted fall, but y'all, like at 5 a.m. walking out the door in a tank top, it's cold.
Yeah.
I wasn't ready for it this morning.
It
hurt a little.
Well, I was telling you earlier, like, I was up last night. I had kind of a stomach ache, and I came upstairs, and it was freezing up here. And I'm such a stickler. Like, I don't want to turn the heat on yet. And so I just froze. I just froze my butt off.
Same, girl. I will freeze for the next, like, my heat won't come on until, like, November.
Yeah.
So I will just freeze. And where my bedroom is, it's, like, there's a big like corridor, I guess, between like my townhome and like the next home over. So like it gets really windy right there, and it's always really like my bedroom is always either the hottest or the coldest of the house. So I'm feeling it.
Yeah. Man.
It's fine. But sweater weather. So
sweater weather. Love it. All the pictures.
I'm loving all the pictures. Yes. Everybody's wrist shots these days are so fire. I love them.
I'll get back to doing a lot more because I feel like I lacked in my wrist shot game this summer because I just don't like it with like no sleeves. I feel like, I don't know, it's naked.
It's boring.
Yeah, I don't like it. So yeah I'm
sweater
excited about
weather. The cuff folding is here. I'm absolutely loving it. So
yeah, but I do too.
Okay, so we should probably
enough about the weather.
Enough about the weather. We're also part-time weather forecasters, y'all.
Yeah,
in case you didn't know. We should include that in our
intro
introduction. Talking photography, watches, travel, whatever. And
I know. I feel like we should take the travel out. I feel so bad. I'm like, well, we're not going anywhere, but we do have a little like field trip tomorrow, so we'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah. So.
And I love that you're calling it a field trip because that's what I've called it when I talk to like some of my friends about it. I'm like, I'm going on a field trip.
It's a 10 and 2 field trip. So we are so excited. And we'll report back on that on our Tuesday episode next week.
Yay. But today we're doing another watch review.
We are.
Yes. Of a brand that we've had, like, first of all, both of us own multiple watches from this brand. We've had the guys on the podcast before, but we are reviewing the new Monta Noble.
Yeah.
And I am so excited because I've been obsessing over this watch since we got the press release, and I feel like I'm obsessing over it even more now. It was hard to send out yesterday.
Oh, man.
I was like, I opened the box again just to look at the watch one more time.
It's so good. It's so good. Yeah. And what's really funny is like when this watch came out, about a month ago or so, I remember like texting with Justin and I was like, oh, the white, the opaline silver, like that. I love it. Like that's my favorite. And he just kept saying, wait till you see the blue. Wait till you see the blue. And I was like, no, I don't think so, Justin. Like, I like the opaline silver. Like, it's my favorite. And he's like, just wait. And sure enough, like when we got it in, I mean, I was just amazed by this dial.
I'm smitten.
It's so good.
So smitten.
Man.
So smitten. All right. Well, let's get into the actual review. So Monta, of course. So we've had the guys from Monta. We've had Justin and Michael on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. If you aren't super familiar with them, go way back in time to episode 36, which is like 60 episodes. Kat, that's 60 episodes
ago. Oh, my gosh.
Ago.
What?
Yes.
What?
We were babies. Oh. We're so old now.
Man.
But, yeah, so head back over to episode 36. We the guys were actually here in Nashville. We got to see their entire collection while mm-hmm. they were here. And they came to
Man, that was
to
so much
afterwards.
Fun.
It was
Gosh,
so fun.
I miss doing that so much. Oh,
back
man.
In the day, we had Watts Club meetups. Oh, man. Times were easy.
One day
we will get back to it.
Yeah.
So their watch brand that's only 3 or 4 years old, like they're less than 5 years old. And I think that
yeah.
it's easy to forget almost because it seems like for such a young watch brand, they're hitting things out of the park. And we'll get more into the details of this watch later. Mm-hmm. But Kat and I have always said like they punch well above their weight. And
yeah.
I think it's definitely true with this. So the Noble came out in August.
Yeah, August.
Late August. So it is very, very new. Do you want to, I guess we can go over the specs before we get more into the details of our review?
Yeah. So as far as specs, this comes in at 38.5, which is, it's the same case that the Atlas is in and the Triumph is in. And mm-hmm. to me, it's just, it's a phenomenal size. I think it looks good on most wrists, unless, I mean, maybe if you have a really tiny wrist, but I feel like for the most part, this works really well. Case thickness is 9.7 millimeters. Lug to lug is 47, which is great. It's also water resistant to 500 feet, which for a dress watch, I can appreciate because I like my watches having good water resistant to them. The bezel and case and bracelet is all made out of 316L steel. Okay, so inside this watch, we've talked to Justin from Monta, and you know, usually they use either ETA or Sellita with most of their pieces. See, this is why I don't record in the mornings, Callan. And
it's okay.
It's okay. I'm gonna get through. I'm trying.
You better
I'm chugging
keep
my
that
coffee
in there. If you left my Travis Scott comment, in
I'll leave
last
it.
Podcast,
I'll leave it. I promise
you.
You
leave this in here.
Yeah,
okay.
I'll leave it. I'll leave it just for you. And
I'm a different person in the morning. I'm smart in the mornings, y'all.
I'm not. No, but inside, they're going back and forth right now. They're having a hard time getting movements in from suppliers. So they've talked about using a Soprod movement inside, which if you're not familiar with Soprod, it is very similar to the ETA or Sellita. It's kind of the equivalent. And I think the last time I talked to Justin, he did say that they were more leaning towards Sellita. Which is a good thing because I think a lot of people do like the Sellita movement. But either way, I think you're going to have one of these three inside of it. I know it seems a little, I don't know. I would like to know exactly what was going to be in the watch if I ordered one of these, you know. So I understand like some people really being a little frustrated with not knowing. But at the same time, I get where these guys are coming from. Like COVID is still such a big thing here. It's still such a big thing in a lot of countries and production has been slowed down. So they just don't know. And,
yeah, well, it's an industry problem. It's
yeah.
not just, you know, for Monta. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of independent and micro brands are having a hard time sourcing movements.
Yeah.
Of course, you have all the legality issues with ETA right now anyways in general. And then, you know, that obviously drives demand for Sellita up and obviously production right now is not at its peak. So definitely an issue. No matter what, the movement, it's going to be a traditional three-hand movement with date. You know, they're saying it should have about a 42-hour power reserve, and automatic, of course. So
I mean,
it should be everything you expect.
And just to reiterate, like Monta does now have a watchmaker, an in-house watchmaker too, that regulates mm-hmm. all these movements. So I honestly think no matter which one you get, they're going to be regulated the same. I've had and have several Montas in my own collection, and I can't tell the difference between one and the other, whether it's a Sellita or ETA, they run the same. So I assume it's probably going to be the same way with the Soprod. But which brings me to the next point. There's only going to be 200 pieces of this Noble in the next 12 months. And that's just, again, because of the slow production. It's not a limited edition by any means. They will definitely be making more. But they could only promise kind of 200 in the next year, which is, I don't think is that bad. Like, that's a pretty good number.
Yeah, and that's 200 total. And keep in consideration that there are two different dial colors. Mm-hmm. So you have the opaline silver, and then you have this really gorgeous blue dial. The blue is obviously what we had in for review. But mm-hmm. so you're looking at 100 pieces of each. They are available on pre-order right now. The price is $1,600. But yeah, definitely something to consider. They will be full production pieces, which I'm glad to hear because they are quite beautiful. And I think it brings something new to the Matza line. Mm-hmm. Even though, you know, I will say I was very skeptical because it's the exact same case and bracelet as the Triumph and the Atlas. And I have an Atlas.
Yeah.
So I was very skeptical on like if this can actually be something different and stand on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And it really does.
It's not even the same. Like it doesn't feel the same at all.
No, and I told stupid me.
What?
I having this blue Atlas here. Uh-huh. I was like just so caught up in taking pictures of this that the morning I was sending the watch back, somebody commented on like one of my photos and was like, "How does it compare with the Atlas?" And I'm like, "Holy crap! I never even took a picture of the two of them side by side." I got it, y'all. I was like 5 minutes late to work the other morning so that I could snag this picture
just for
real quick.
You guys.
So, just for the gram, y'all. Just for the gram. Also, please don't let anybody I work with hear this because I blamed it on needing gas. As I know, some of the people in my company listen to this.
Oh, Lord.
Okay. But so a couple of other details is because it does follow the same case and bracelet as the Triumph and the Atlas. So you're going to have like the all brush case, the all brush bracelet. But then because this is the dressier line, you have a very incredibly high polished bezel. You have Monta calls them diamond cut hands and markers, which really are like diamond cut. Like,
yeah.
For real. And then you have just the really subtle high polish on the outer bit of the or on the inner legs, excuse me, just to have it a little bit something different. This does have the new Monta quick adjust, which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
One of the most comfortable bracelets. The dial is it's a beautiful sunburst fume effect. So you have like this really light ocean, almost like a Caribbean blue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then it like fades into this really pretty dark navy on the outside, and screw down crown for a dress watch.
Yeah, I love that too.
So yeah, I think that's it. On the
feature. And I think you mentioned the pre-order price is $1,600. The full retail will be after the pre-order is over, it will be $1,700, just over $1,700. So if you are thinking about getting one, pre-order would definitely be the time. And I think I saw an Instagram post yesterday from them saying they were at 50% sold already. So, and they are expecting, I think, a early November, mid-November delivery, which is pretty cool. So very, very soon. Mm-hmm. I know we know a couple people have put in pre-orders and they are, they cannot wait. And I don't blame them. Like, this is so exciting. Again, I know a lot of people have had this question on Instagram, and since I've seen both in person, they were curious if the opaline was the same as the Atlas, and it is. The dials are exactly the same. To me, in the photos, this opaline noble does look a little bit more wider, but I honestly think it's just the light and the way it hits it, but it is that silvery color that is on the Atlas too, which is very, very beautiful, and I'm excited to see that one at some point in time. But I am really like, I'm so glad that we got the blue. And so glad that we got the blue. But okay. I think that covers it. And we can dive into our questions.
Dive in. All right. Yeah. So first question. So those are all the facts. Now we're just telling you what we think about it. So our first question that we ask is, what is your favorite and least favorite feature?
Mm-hmm.
So Kat, what was your favorite feature about this?
I think we're probably going to have the same favorite feature on this one. And
no, I didn't do it. I wanted
to
be
dial?
Super. No, because I knew that was the basic answer.
Well,
and somebody
I'm going
was going to be all like, you guys always pick the dial.
Well, right, I'm going real basic today because I picked the dial. Okay. It really, really amazed me. I mean, the dial, hands down, is just, it's so good. And I'm so impressed from, honestly, just from a micro brand, independent brand standpoint, at this price point, like, this is so good. I've seen so many higher end pieces with dials like this. And the fact that Monta's putting something out like this, I mean, it's amazing. And I think that it's the kind of dial that when someone sees this on your wrist, like they are going to, like they're going to stare at it and they might even call you out. Like it's one of those watches that I can see people noticing. I only had it for a couple of days. I didn't really get to wear it outside of the house, but like I can totally see people like this watch catching people's eye. And that's something that people either love or hate. I actually like it when it's not one of my Rolexes because, like, I don't like people calling me out or asking me what watch I'm wearing when I'm wearing a Rolex. I know I'm weird. But on my other watches, I do because I like to spark the conversation. And it's not that I don't like the Rolex. It's just that once you say Rolex, people's eyes just kind of roll over and they're like, well, whatever, like, show off.
Yeah, there's an assumption.
Yeah, but yeah. Anyway, back to the dial. It's just... it's beautiful, and I know that this degradé, which if you're not familiar, it means to fade in French, I believe. I'm not, don't, it's been a while.
We're still Southern, so.
Yeah. I'm like 99% sure it is French, and it means to fade, and, you know, I know Justin had mentioned that this dial took them 18 months of development and several prototypes to get right, and I think they got it right. Like, it looks just phenomenal. I do. It's the middle of it's kind of like this bluish green. I think you said Caribbean. Like, it's in it. And another thing I like about it too is that it looks different every way you look at it. In every picture you take, like I have a bunch of pictures that I'm editing now to put on our website for this show. And I'm like, oh, the dial looks different in this photo than it does in this one. And it's just really cool. And I think it's a dial that you're like never going to get bored of. But that was my very, very long answer. Sorry about that. What is your favorite thing?
Okay. So I am going with... the dial is amazing and ditto on everything you said. But I'm going with the diamond cut hands and markers.
Ooh.
Like, first of all, they have super Luminova on them, which for a dress watch, you rarely see lume, and the lume is amazing on this watch. So I do love that feature. The press release stated, you know, it talked about how high polish it is and how, you know, you get light reflections from every angle.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, you really get light reflections from every angle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, everybody talks and come at me, whatever it is. I'm still going to say it. Everybody talks about Grand Seiko and Zeratsu polishing and finishing, especially on hands. And I would say this comes pretty dang close. Like, as far as the reflections you get on the hands and markers, genuinely, I don't think you would have necessarily needed lume on it. But I like, again, Monta, it's a watch brand run by watch enthusiasts. So you get those little touches that most brands wouldn't consider, like lume on a dress watch. But yeah, they're absolutely incredible. It was a real joy just to kind of see. And like, I loved playing with the dial in different lights, but I really enjoyed also seeing how these hands and markers reflected the different lights. So that's my more specific answer other than dial. No, not hating on your answer, but I knew you were going to pick that. So I figured we could have something different.
Yeah, I understand. I understand. We know each other too well.
All right. So let's get into least favorite feature, because there has to be one. It can be as petty as you'd like it to be.
I know.
I hate this. Oh, mine are petty. Don't worry.
I hate it.
All right. What do you have?
All right. And, I don't like this at all. Okay, so I think if I had to just pick one thing that was like my least favorite thing about the watch, I would say, okay, so I like, also, I don't know if we talked about, they also refined their logo a little bit on this watch, right? And so it's a little bit different than the previous Monta models. I love the logo. However, I think on this model, I don't like that it's, you know, the printed logo on the dial. I would have rather have seen an applied logo here. And I know why they didn't, because it increases the cost of the watch, and they don't have to. Like, I know some people, like, they feel like an applied logo means, you know, it's a more luxury piece. I don't think that. And I think for a lot of watches, I mean, if you look at Pateks and stuff like that, they don't have an applied logo, and it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that they have to do that. I think, but for this watch, with all like those polishing and the hands and the indices that we were just talking about, I think that applied like polished logo would have been so good on here. And so that's maybe my least favorite thing. But again, that's being really nitpicky, because I would still 100% buy this watch without, like, that's not even a thought in my mind. That's me just having to pick something to be mean about. What about you? What's your least favorite thing?
All right, Petty Betty is here.
sorry, guys. We still love you.
We do. And it's just, we have to answer this question about everything. So yeah. It is what it is. So I am going with the bracelet, but not for the reasons that you guys think it would be.
Ooh.
I'm personally not a fan of, and this is something that I struggle with on my, I don't really struggle. I still love it. But on my Atlas is the fully articulating links.
Mm-hmm.
I don't necessarily like how articulating they are, for lack of better words. Like, I don't like that they each move individually.
Yeah.
It's just being absolutely nitpicky. And on the wrist, it's fine. But I don't like the way it lays down for photos. So that is super petty.
Hey,
petty.
You're allowed to be petty. It's okay. Because I agree.
Thank
like,
you.
Taking...
I tell people that all the time, but they don't agree. So.
You're allowed to be petty on this episode. I see your point, because when I've tried to lay this watch down for photos, the articulating links kind of just flop everywhere, and we're being super super picky about this, and it's something that most 99% of people will not care about, because honestly the articulating links make the bracelet all the more comfortable and it fits your wrist really well. But again, we've got to pick something, so there you go.
Well, and that's the whole point of these reviews. It sounds really, man, it sounds even worse when you say it out loud.
Yeah.
That I buy a watch just so it looks pretty in photo.
Well, you wouldn't buy an ugly watch anyway. So I think it just like, it comes with like, you like the watch.
It's the territory.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. All right.
But also this does have 20 millimeter lugs, mm-hmm. and I bet it would be a strap monster. So
yeah. Yeah. I think so. I very much think so. I think it'll look great. So next question, how versatile is the watch, and kind of who do you think the watch is for, its purpose?
Okay. So honestly, like, I gave this watch an 8 out of 10 out of versatility.
Mm-hmm.
It's a dress watch. It's Monta's idea of a dress watch. But when I think dress watch, this is what like comes to mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think of some really thin, super high polished watch, probably on a leather strap. You know, that's just kind of what comes to mind. So this to me isn't overly dressy, and that's what I really love. I don't like watches that are too dressy, because my lifestyle isn't really dressy.
Mm-hmm.
I like something that I can wear kind of every day. The only reason honestly it didn't get higher is because it's not overly sporty either.
Yeah.
You know, so I do think that high polished bezel definitely kind of does make it stand out a little bit more as a dress watch. That being said, again, it would look absolutely phenomenal on straps. And so something that I want to talk about with versatility is I'm going to bring in versatility for genders. Like, this mm-hmm. is a very gender fluid watch,
mm-hmm.
and I absolutely love that. I talked a friend of mine into getting dressed and going out to the woods to take some photos. This is why I can't have like non-watch friends, because like he's trying to like just stand there wearing the watch, and I had to like keep angling his wrist, and he didn't understand. You got to stay perfectly still. When I get that right angle, just don't move. Also, why none of my non-watch people want to hang out anymore. So gender versatility. Like, this is a watch that looks absolutely phenomenal on your wrist. I think it looks absolutely phenomenal on my wrist. His wrist is probably like a 7.5 inch, like, typical man, I don't know, hairy, like, working kind of wrist. So it looks great on him too. I think that it's something that you can really kind of wear with just about anything, and anybody can wear it. I think, you know, if you're looking for a great everyday watch but you are more on the business casual to business, you know, to business side of things, I think this is a really phenomenal option.
Yeah, I agree.
What about you?
Yeah, so I gave the watch a 9 out of 10. I think that it's so versatile. I think anyone can wear this with almost anything. I mean, yeah, I agree with your point. Like, when you think dress watch, you may not picture this exact watch. But this is the kind of dress watch I would buy. It's
oh,
more
yeah.
on the sporty side. I like having a bracelet. I'm not much of a leather person. So, and I think that I love the look of this with like just jeans and a t-shirt too, because, you know, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit. I think that you kind of get those like Datejust vibes, you know, where you got this like kind of shiny dressy piece, but you're really casual with it. I love that look so much. And yeah, I totally agree with you. I think out of all of Monta's lineup, like, this is a watch I really feel like women can really be drawn to a little bit more, because it's a little bit more refined. And that's not to say the others, because I own the, you know, the Triumph and the Ocean King, and I've not owned an Atlas yet, and I really like the Atlas a lot, and I think that would do well for a lot of women too. But I think this one is just like, it's so stunningly beautiful. I would love to see them, you know, market it a little bit more towards women, and I know we're trying to do that as well, but golly, this watch is just, it's so good. And I just said golly, oh my gosh.
It's fine. You're keeping it in. Totally keeping it in. Golly. Yeah, no, I agree. I think that it's a more refined sports watch. And
yeah.
I love that. And I think that with that, like, it's something that I could see so many women pulling off just as well.
Yes,
so.
it's the dressy to watch. You know, it's what everyone kind of, like, if you have a really good collection, you've got your tool watches, you've got your divers, you've got your field watches, like, this is such a great addition, because this is that thing that you don't have in your collection. I don't have in my collection, you know, it's that one thing that kind of sets itself apart from everything else. And I think it'll do really well.
Okay. Well, so let's talk about value for cost, because that is something that we really, really think about when we're adding a piece to our collection. The pre-order price of the Noble is $1,600, with the regular price being $1,700 once pre-order is done. How do you feel as far as the value that you get for that?
Yeah, I mean, I think all that you're getting, I think it's priced about right, you know, and I know we're going to get those folks that say, you know, it's got an ETA movement inside, it needs to be less than $1,000, yada, yada. I don't
do most big watch brands, by the way. Just in case you didn't know that.
I know
every major watch brand that, like, you probably lust after has used or uses a modified ETA movement.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, down the line, I'd love to see Monta do something different with their movements and modifying them a little bit more. And but again, with that is going to come a cost increase, and I don't think people want that. So they're trying to give people a happy medium. It's like, you have this workhorse movement inside, but then you have this incredibly well-made watch that I put right at the likes of, you know, Tudor and even Omega. So as far as quality goes, but value for cost, I think things that we can compare it to, obviously the Datejust. I think it has a lot of Datejust vibes going on here. And I'm not really trying to compare it to that, but if we had to, like, I think that's my immediate thought. And I know a lot of people talked about the Tissot Gentleman too, and I see the resemblance at first glance, but I think when you really look at these watches closely, like, there's no comparison. This watch blows the Tissot out of the water. No hate for Tissot here. I've owned several, but the quality in the Monta is way, way above it. And I know the Tissot has the Powermatic movement and a higher power reserve, but also has a lower bead, and it's also not as easy to work on as these Slayton ETA movements inside. So you take your trade-offs for sure. But there's nothing that competes with this dial. I'm sorry. Like, this dial is so freaking good. Other dials that have done like this are like 3 to 4 times the cost of this Monta. So
yeah,
I was like, oh crap, like, dang. Like, good on you, Monta. But yeah, what do you think?
So I agree. I think, like I said, Monta does finishing like no other watch at this price point. Mm-hmm. I will just be very blunt and say that. And honestly, they do finishing like no other watch in a lot of higher price points as well. You know, we've talked about them several times. There's a reason both of us own Monta watches. They're amazing quality. And I think I've said this on the podcast before, I will never forget, like, when we first met, you know, you talked about Monta. You had a friend of yours, Monta, and you said, man, like, it, the quality, the finishing is just as good as some of the Rolex models that you've handled or you've had in the past. And I was like, oh yeah, whatever, you know. And then we met at that coffee shop, and I was like, well, damn, okay. Yeah. Like, it really is. You know, they really do such a phenomenal job. As far as comparing, I mean, honestly, I would throw it up easily against the Tudor Black Bay as far as like an entry level higher end watch. And like you said, you know, people knock the price here, but if they do something in-house, then it has to be more expensive. And, you know, you're not people aren't willing to pay more expensive for a micro brand.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of, I feel like Monta is really trying to push so hard into that next bracket as far as kind of respect in the horological community, you know. So, honestly, I would also put it up against like an Aquaterra. I think that's what really comes to mind. Like what you were saying, that kind of everyday more dress watch, that's mm-hmm. what that Aquaterra is in my personal collection.
Yeah.
And this has such that kind of vibe, especially those older models, which mine is, where it has the all brush bracelet.
Yeah.
Even then, I mean, I'm not caught.
Yeah.
The finishing on the Monta, like there are some aspects to the finishing that I would say are much better than my Aquaterra.
Yeah.
And plus the micro adjust clasp is everything.
It is.
But
everything.
I think that, you know, especially if you're looking at something in the $1,700 price point, you know, looking at some of those older, even the older quartz Aquaterras, like mm-hmm. that have been discontinued, or that very first generation of Aquaterra, but that had like the 20, I think it was the 2500 caliber. I think that that's a very easy comparison mm-hmm. and something that you can look at. But with those older Aquaterras, you're going to always have to find something used. They're so old at this mm-hmm. point. You know, versus you can get something new with arguably a much better dial and some better finishing aspects for around the same price point and much less realistically. So, it's a phenomenal piece.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. I'm glad you brought up the Aquaterra. I didn't even think about that one.
Yeah. Well, you were like, oh, I would compare it to Tudor and Omega, as in my notes, I haven't compared to Tudor and Omega. Oh, man.
Okay. Last question. So would this be a watch that gets regular wear and would last long term in your collection?
Yes.
For like, sure. Yes.
Like, I miss it already. I just set it out yesterday and I miss it.
Yeah.
Man, this one was a tough one to get rid of. So No. I'm committing.
I'm not
going to say what I'm committing to, but I'm committed. But you know, Kat.
I know.
You know. Okay. Simple answer, yes. What about for you?
Yeah, I think same. I think this is a watch that I don't have in my collection, this type of watch. So I think that I would wear the heck out of it. And again, y'all, we're going to take photos. Yeah. Like, there's going to be photos on our website, but like nothing, like when you see it in person, oh my gosh. Like, so it's got the degradé from the dark on the outer rim all the way to that light in the middle. And then it's like a brush finishing on top of that, like a sunburst, like underneath it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I tried my best to really capture it on camera and I just couldn't capture that finish on it. But man, it's just so freaking good. And I came in as like, I like the Opaline. That was my favorite one. And now I'm team blue. Like,
no,
I'm team blue dial.
Because I was always team blue. And when he said that he was sending us one, I was just like, please let it be blue. Even though Kat wants the Opaline, let it be blue. So excited. So let me ask you this real quick. One feature we didn't really talk about is the date.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know that we talk about matching date wheels and things mm-hmm. like that. This has a white date wheel against that dial. Do you find that to be distracting?
No, I don't.
What do you think?
I like the 6 o'clock placement for dates anyway. I think it's a little more symmetrical to me than the 3 o'clock. So I like that it's down there. I like that they did the window, the polished window around it.
Yeah,
I think it fits
sure.
in really well with this piece. I think this is like a dress business kind of piece. Like people could wear this to work every day. And for that purpose, like you do need a date, or I think it would be more beneficial to have a date. Mm-hmm. That being said, I understand why they didn't do the matching date wheel, because with this degradé dial, especially, I don't know that they could have
possible.
Yeah, because it takes so long to get the dial alone right, like let alone match a date wheel to it. So no, I think the white contrast from the date wheel, like I think it goes well with the indices. I really do. It doesn't bother me. I have seen people ask for a note date version down the line, and who knows, like Monta's done no date Ocean Kings and they may very well do a no date Noble down the line. But I'm excited to see where Monta's gonna go, because, like, yeah, they've taken over this kind of like sport watch, tool watch world, as far as kind of that luxury feel. But now they're going into like, oh, they can do a dress watch. Like, and they can do something that's so different with this dial. It's not the typical standard blue or black that we normally see. And yeah, I'm really excited. Really, really excited. Yeah,
I definitely agree. They hit it out of the park with this. Like, yeah. I was very skeptical, especially because I already have an Atlas. And I was super skeptical about if it was even going to be all that different. But yeah. Genuinely, really is. I can't wait for you guys to see some more photos of it. You know, hopefully, I do know. So Monza had discussed, you know, having a few more ADs in 2020, obviously, with everything going on. That has kind of been pushed aside maybe to next year. But you can check everything out on their website, MontaWatch.com. You know, we'll have links to everything in the show notes. We'll have photos. I cannot wait to see what photos Kat has come up with, because as she says, oh, I couldn't really capture that dial. I'm sure she did just fine. But yeah, so again, I'm super excited to see what the brand comes up with.
Yeah. And, you know, we're huge fans. Obviously, we're both Monta owners and, you know, and I will say, like, in the past, I've not really brought up Monta a whole lot because I'm kind of a fangirl. I just adore the brand. I adore what they're doing. And so I feel like I'm very biased, but I'm glad that we got to spend time with this watch. And I tried to be as unbiased as possible when reviewing this watch. Also, I was like, okay, take everything else out of my mind. Like, I'm coming at this watch without any experience, and it still blows me out of the water. And yeah, the stuff that they're doing is amazing, and the quality in the watch that you get. So I think people, if they are able to see this watch hands on, I think they're just going to be blown away. And again, it's not a limited edition, and maybe next year, maybe we'll get back to these wind up fairs and Monta will be there, and go check this watch out for sure.
Yes. 100% for sure. All right. Well, thank you to Monta, to Justin and Michael for sending this over to us. We had a great time with it. Probably too good of a time.
I know.
My wallet's a little nervous. but thanks for sending it over. You guys go check out their website. Go check out our website, www.tennandtwo.com. If you like the podcast, please be sure to review us, especially if you're on iTunes. I don't know that the other platforms allow you to rate and review us, but if you are on iTunes or if your platform allows it, please go do that, because it does make it easier for people to find the podcast and share the podcast. If you guys like what you're hearing, share it on your social media, share it with your watch friends, tag us in it. We absolutely enjoy seeing all the chat about our episodes.
Yeah.
And I think that's it. Be sure you're following us on social media at 10 and 2 Media on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, though I still have never logged into Twitter one day of my life.
It's fine. I get on there every once in a while and just like check to make sure, you know.
I've never even had a Twitter, so I genuinely don't, like, I don't even have the app. I don't,
I mean, there's not a ton of people on there, but I do give it to those people that are on Twitter still, and we have some posts that go up there. Basically, it's just a copy of our posts on Instagram.
Exactly. All right. Well, I think that is going to wrap us up, and we will be coming at you guys again next week. So until then, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye, y'all.